We're going to read a wee bit more than we normally do. We're going to read part of chapter 27 of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, please. And we're going to read about the morning, the momentous morning of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there's never been a morning like this morning when Christ was crucified. And Matthew tells us in verse 1 of Matthew 27, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Down to verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marvelled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew, Pilate knew, that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the two will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a riot, a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, just looking still on the page, want to read verse 22 again. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? My friends in the meeting tonight, I want you to think very seriously about this question. It is life's inescapable question. It is life's unavoidable, inescapable question. This man, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in Jerusalem, he faced this question and he made the wrong decision. I wonder what you're going to do this evening with the Lord Jesus. Perhaps this is decision night for you. Perhaps this is the moment in your life when you can no longer put it off. You can no longer avoid the issue. You can no longer run away from the issue. But you come face to face with Christ. You come face to face with this question. What am I going to do as an individual with Jesus, which is called Christ? It is the most important question you will ever face. Nothing else comes close. You may be career driven. You may think that you live to work rather than work to live. You may be totally and utterly taken up with a hobby I've got friends that, well, I used to be at school with, and I meet them today, and they say, "You're a Christian, Blair." And I say, "That's right." And they say, "My religion is," and they name a football team. And they are so wrapped up in their football team that that means everything to them. And that's the biggest thing in their life. No, emanating from my life's many choices and life's many decisions, this is the big issue. Bigger than your marriage, bigger than your career, bigger than any other issue in life. What is it? What am I going to do with Jesus? Now, in the meeting tonight, I want to ask you right at the very start, what have you done with him? This September evening, the 19th of September 2013, as you go back over the history of your life, what have you done with the Lord Jesus? As you've heard about him, maybe in children's meetings, Bible club, maybe at meetings like this, maybe you've got relatives who are Christians, maybe you've got friends who've preached the gospel to you, and you've heard the gospel, and you're responsible. You know you've got God to meet, and you know there's a way into God's presence, there's a way to heaven, there's a way to salvation, and it's found through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not unaware of these things. And you know that you have to make a decision to receive the Lord Jesus as Lord of your life, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, or to reject him. What has it been up until now? Mind you, your whole eternity, your whole eternal future hinges on this question, on this decision. And I would be burdened this evening in my heart for you in this meeting, if you are still at a distance from the Lord Jesus, if you are still rejecting him, if you are still deciding to refuse Christ as your Saviour, I'd be greatly burdened for you this evening. I'd be greatly concerned for you if you're not saved. And that's why the meetings are discussing and we're preaching night after night about life's big questions. But this is the ultimate question. This is the big issue. And Pilate put it verbally like this. The language of his heart was this: what am I going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He's a very sad character, Pilate, the man who asked this question. He's a complex character. And the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is this. He's a man who actually murdered his conscience. He's a man that went against everything that his heart was telling him to do. And I'll try and explain that as we proceed. But he's the man who was in control politically of Jerusalem at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry on earth. And the Lord Jesus was on earth for 33 and a half perfect years. The Bible tells us very clearly that the Lord Jesus, when he spoke and when he performed miracles and when he came into people's lives, they were never the same again. They were never ever the same again. And the Lord Jesus Christ brought blessing to people. He brought life to the dead. He brought joy to the sad. He brought food to the hungry. He went about doing good. He went about declaring God's love and expressing the love of God. But ultimately he was hated and he was rejected and he was put on a cross. And the people who instigated that were so-called religious people, Jewish religious people, who hated the Lord Jesus, thought he was an imposter, thought he was a lie teller, and they wanted him to be arrested and put away from their lives. They didn't want him. They didn't want him in their lives. They didn't want him in their city. They didn't want him in their country. "We don't want him," was the message. But you see, these religious people, they had absolutely no power. They had absolutely no authority to go and arrest the Lord Jesus Christ and try him in their courts. They couldn't do that. Why? Because the Romans were in control. Oh, you young ones have done the Romans at school. And they were fierce dictators. And they were in control of Israel. And they had their governors in all the different districts of Israel. And they had Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem. And that was the man that they went to. Buck stopped with him. They wakened him up early in the morning. And they brought him sharply to his feet with this message: we want Christ crucified. We don't want him any longer in this city. We don't want him in our synagogue. We don't want him in our life. We want you to sign his death warrant, Pilate. Because we've got no power to destroy him, but you've got the power, so we want you to do our bidding. We want you to do our dirty work. Immediately, Pontius Pilate, his mind that early morning must have been raging. He must have thought, wait a minute. They're wanting me to crucify an innocent man. They're wanting me to sign the death warrant of Jesus of Nazareth, the man who is going about feeding the hungry, the man who preaches peace, the man who actually brings the love of God into reality. How can I do that? And everything in his heart was telling him that Jesus Christ was innocent, that he was the Son of God. And immediately Pilate knew it was a wrong motive. It was for envy that the Jews had delivered Jesus to him. And straight from the early morning light of that never to be forgotten day, it was a morning of dilemma as far as Pilate was concerned. He tries to brush off all the accusations. He tries to avoid the burning issue. He tries to really wriggle out of making a decision. It was a dilemma. A dilemma. He knew that Jesus Christ was innocent. He knew that Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong. And he knew that these people just wanted him crucified out of envy and jealousy. And a whole load of things happened that morning. Pilate tried to shift the emphasis onto someone else. He tried to send the Lord Jesus to a man called Herod, but Herod sent him back again. Then he tried to get out of the situation by telling the Jews, wait a minute, it's the time of Passover. Passover was celebrated in Israel as they remembered their deliverance from Egypt so many centuries prior to that. And every time the Passover came round, the Romans allowed them to have a prisoner released. Rome gave a pardon to a prisoner. And Pilate thought, I've got the answer. I've got the answer. Here's a way out of predicament. Here's the end of my dilemma. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to allow them to have a choice. I'm going to give them in one corner the Lord Jesus. He's the life giver. He's the Son of God. He is the truth. I'll put him in that side. And then on this side, I'll give them the choice of Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was a murderer. So you've got the Lord Jesus, the life giver, and you've got Barabbas, the life taker. And he thought, surely these people will see sense and they'll choose Christ and I'll get off from making a difficult decision. That's so true to human nature, isn't it? We try to wriggle out of making decisions. We try to put off the inevitable. And especially when it comes to this big question, the ultimate question, Christ for salvation, making him Lord of your life, bowing in repentance, admitting that you're wrong, admitting that we are sinners and we've gone astray, we've sinned against God and we need a Saviour, and coming humbly and contritely to the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner and you died for me on the cross. Lord, save me. You've never done that. You know in your heart of hearts you need to. See, every single man and every single woman the world over is going to meet God. And you know, when we do stand before God, all God, and I speak very carefully and reverently, all God is interested in, all that's on the agenda is my son. My son. Not religion. Not good works. Not, you know, ethics or being a good person. My son. Whether you trusted him and believed in him and followed him, or if you rejected him, that's all that's going to matter in that future day. And that's all that's really for you to think about at this moment. What are you going to do with Jesus? Receive him or reject him? Believe in him or distrust him? What are you going to do? And Pilate, he was absolutely crestfallen when the people said, "Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas!" He couldn't believe it. He said, "Why do you want Barabbas? Give us Barabbas." Do you know, I've got a strong suspicion. But if the Lord Jesus Christ was back in our country tonight, in the United Kingdom, I fear greatly that the big cry would be, "Crucify him and give us anybody but Jesus." 2,000 years have run their course, but the heart of man is still the same. But what about your heart tonight? Because as individuals we stand or fall before God, and the criteria is this: what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What a dilemma. And you know, to make matters worse, his wife, Pilate's wife, had given him some really good advice. Pilate's wife had been an onlooker, and she had said very discreetly to Pilate, "Pilate, don't you do anything that will harm the Lord Jesus. He's a just person. And in this very night, I've received a dream that has shaken me. And please, Pilate, don't you go along with these wicked men in having the Lord Jesus crucified. He's a just man. He's an innocent man. Don't you hurt him." Well, of course, it's an absolute impossibility, having nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Every one of us have to face up to our responsibility to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And Pilate's weighing all this up, and it's like scales. One moment he's leaning towards the Lord Jesus, and the next moment he's thinking about what these Jews are saying. Do you know what the Jews are saying? They just put their finger on Pilate's most vulnerable point. And what is this? "If you let Jesus go, you will not be Caesar's friend." Caesar was the emperor. And you know, that sent a chill right down Pilate's spine. Pilate thought about his career. Pilate thought about the upper echelons of power in the Roman Empire. Pilate thought about his future and his power and his place in the kingdom and his popularity in the politics of the day. He thought, "This is not going to look good in my CV." And that was the rock that he perished on. And when he heard this, "I'm not going to be Caesar's friend. I'm going to fall foul of my superiors if I take sides with Jesus Christ." And what he did was an absolute tragedy. An absolute travesty of justice. What Pilate did was this. He sold his soul. And he made the wrong decision. And he murdered his conscience. Maybe it's not popularity. Maybe it's not place that you're looking for. Maybe you couldn't care less about riding the career ladder. But there must be something stopping you from trusting Christ tonight. What is it? You ask the question in the quietness of your own heart. What would keep you back from the Lord Jesus this evening? Could it possibly be what others would say? No, peer pressure is a real problem. That constant pressure that comes from friends wanting you to conform, wanting you to just go the same way as they are, wanting you to say the same things as they do, use the same language, go to the same places, think the same thoughts, listen to the same music, watch the same rubbish, and everybody wants you to be the same. And if you become a Christian, you're going in a totally different direction and you're following the Lord Jesus and everybody else is going down the opposite direction, and peer pressure is real. I remember as a teenager, I can't think that far back, I can remember what it was like. I can remember even hoping that nobody would see me to come into a building like this and nobody would see me with a Bible. But I wasn't saved. It's a bad day when you are saved and you're frightened to carry a Bible and you're frightened to be associated with Christ. If you claim to be a Christian, that's a different matter. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like. But you weigh it up. There is a saying, isn't there? Friends can laugh you into hell, but they can't get you out. And you weigh it up tonight, my young friend and older friends, you weigh it up this evening as Pilate did. Pilate had a dilemma. He had his wife telling him one thing. His conscience was shouting at him to do the right thing and to trust Christ and leave everything in his hands and not be culpable with regards to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he took the coward's way out. And that morning of dilemma became a morning of decision, and he decided to crucify Christ. He decided, first of all, to scourge him. Maybe you don't know what scourging is, but it is a horrific instrument of torture that was used by the Romans in their day. They would take a whip, and at the end of the whip would be bone and metal and ivory, and it would be sharp, and it would inflict pain and torture, excruciating pain, as it would rip the flesh from the back of the victim. Some people even died while they were experiencing the scourging. But the Lord Jesus Christ endured the scourging that Pilate had directed. In fact, I wonder if Pilate started the scourging, because each of the gospel records tell us that Pilate scourged him. Now, he might have delegated that. I'm sure he did eventually. But I wonder if he started the scourging and then passed the scourge on to the soldiers, who then took great glee and delight in ripping the flesh from the Lord Jesus Christ back. And Pilate condemned Christ to be crucified. Pilate issued instructions to his centurion and to his soldiers to take the Roman cross and put it on that bleeding back of the Lord Jesus. One can only imagine the pain as that rough Roman cross came into contact with that back that was so lacerated. And the Lord Jesus carries his cross outside of the city of Jerusalem and comes to the place which is called Calvary. And then Pilate has given instructions that the Lord Jesus would be nailed by his hands and his feet to that Roman cross. And lifted up was that cross and plunged into the hole in the ground that had been dug for it. You imagine the shuddering pain and anguish of the Lord Jesus as the cross goes into its hole and the Lord Jesus Christ, his flesh is ripping and his blood is flowing from his body. Someone has written these words, "I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree. And as the cross they upraise, as the multitude gaze on the blessed Lamb at dark Calvary." What a morning it was. 9 o'clock in the morning. Pilate had made the wrong decision. Pilate had been in the horns of a dilemma, but he makes the wrong decision. And I think this question that morning tormented him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What did he do? He crucified him. What are you doing with him tonight? Are you in the crowd that crucified him, or are you in the crowd that loves him? Are you saved or lost? Are you in Christ or in your sins? Are you bound for heaven or bound for hell? There are no grey areas. There are no neutral ground for you to occupy tonight. Are you with them or against them? That's what happened on the cross as well. On either side of the Lord Jesus, there was one thief that trusted him and one thief that rejected him. And that is the same today. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Calvary demands a response. The cross of Christ divides opinion, and the cross of Christ demands a response, but the cross of Christ determines destiny, because this question, depending on how you answer it, depending on what you have decided with the Lord Jesus, and if this is your final answer, you think about this tonight. If you, like Pilate, make that awful choice and decide to stay away from Christ and be at enmity against him, if you die like that, that will determine your destiny. You see, what you do with Jesus Christ, if you receive him as Saviour, he will receive you into heaven. If you reject him as Saviour, he will reject you from heaven. There's a principle in the Bible, it's found in the book of Galatians, and it says this: whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. So if you say no to Christ on earth, he'll say no to you in eternity. But if you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner, please save me. I have sinned. I have gone astray. I'm lost. I'm guilty. Lord, cleanse me, save me, be merciful to me." Like the dying thief, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And if you trust him in time, you'll be with him for all eternity. And you trust him in time, he'll be with you throughout the journeys of life as well. You get the greatest friend you could ever get when you trust Christ, and you get the forgiveness of sins, and you get eternal life. All these are present possessions and the benefits of believing in Christ here and now, but you get a glorious future at the end of life's journey that we're going to think about tomorrow. There is life after death, eternities to be faced. We've got a never dying soul that will either be in heaven or hell, depending on what you do with Christ. It is determined by what you do with the Lord Jesus. What have you decided? I remember sitting in gospel meetings as a teenager before I actually yielded my body, soul and spirit to Christ. I remember being greatly perturbed by a message that was given on this very subject. And the preacher quoted these words: "What will you do with Jesus? Neutral. You cannot be. One day, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?" You see, that got to me, because I thought there was safety in neutrality. I thought, because I was going to gospel meetings and all my relatives were Christian and I was brought up in a Christian home and I just sort of was reared in the atmosphere of the gospel, that surely there's safety in this sort of neutral ground. I wasn't a Christian, but come on, I've got all this background and all this pedigree. We stand before God as individuals. We stand before God as guilty, hell-deserving sinners who need a Saviour. Please do not hide in neutral ground tonight, because there's none. There's no place to hide. Please stop running away from this burning issue. Please don't make the decision that Pilate made. What happened to this man, Pontius Pilate? Well, history tells us that he never reached the high echelons of power. He never was able to curry favour with Caesar after all. And what he did that day did not matter with regards to his future career in Rome. Because in AD 48, just about 13, 14, 15 years or so after the death of Christ, he committed suicide. And there's no word of him getting saved. How's it going to be for you? It's a morning of dilemma. Morning of decision. But it was a morning where his destiny was fixed. His destiny was fixed. You in this meeting, in the final moments of this meeting tonight, have a decision to make. Because we're not here forever. Some of you have heard the gospel more than others. God speaks once and God speaks twice and man perceives it not. And God says in his word that the person who is oftentimes reproved, oftentimes spoken to by God, they harden their neck, they'll be suddenly destroyed one of these days, and that without remedy. So I cannot emphasise how important and how urgent it is to make sure that you face this question: what am I going to do with Jesus? And then respond in the opposite way that Pilate did. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to receive him as my Saviour and Lord. I'm going to crown him Lord of my life. I'm going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what the school bullies say. I don't care what my family says. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to follow a rejected Christ. I might be in the minority, and life might be difficult, but it's worth it, because the Lord said himself that what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and then lose your own soul? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour that you need. And as we come to this question again this evening, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I humbly pray that you will believe on the Lord Jesus tonight and stop running away from this question, but face it this evening. Face it with faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray?